Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to church today. I'm very excited to be here with you. If you don't know, my name is Zach, and I have the great honor and privilege of not only preaching today, but also being the youth pastor here at Grace Point Church alongside my wife, Savannah. And we love our church. Thank you. Thank you. We love our church. We love what God is doing here. And I'm thankful too. Pastor Jack was blessed with an opportunity to go to a conference in South Carolina for free. It was a pastor's conference. It's kind of a retreat getaway thing. And he was blessed with that opportunity. And because of that, I'm preaching this morning. So you're stuck with me. Praise God. Yeah, it's going to be great. But today I'm excited and anxious to preach to you, if I'm being honest. Typically I always wrestle with God's word, but I told somebody this morning, this is a word that I really wrestled with God about, because I was like, God, I really don't want to preach that. I was like, God, that doesn't feel encouraging. That doesn't feel exciting. That doesn't feel like something that I'm just over the top about. Can I be honest with you this morning? Is it okay to be honest? But I really felt like God was putting this on me to preach. We've been preaching this back in Summit, and as I was preparing it, it just felt like a word that was appropriate to the body. And I got Pastor Jack's permission to preach this, even because I was anxious about it, because it's a strong teaching this morning. And so is it okay if we have a strong teaching? Is that okay? Praise God. Thank you. Well, with your permission, I'd like to get started this morning. Today's conversation and the title for today's message is No Spirit But the Holy Spirit. No Spirit But the Holy Spirit. You see, the Bible is really clear that there's two spirits at work in this world. It's God's spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, and there's a demonic spirit. There's a spirit of Satan that seeks to devour and destroy people in the church and seeks to do bad things. And so it's important that we understand that it's one way or the other way. There is no in between. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, one of the things that he said is, your father is Satan, because they weren't following God. They were following their own way. And if you don't belong to God, then like it or not, understand it or not, aware of it or not, you're following Satan in the ways of this world. And so it's important as a Christian to understand this dichotomy, to understand that it's either I'm a child of God or I'm walking in Satan's footsteps. I'm asking the demonic to steward my life. And I don't think any of us would openly want that. I don't think any of us would openly choose that. But the reality is when we're not choosing to walk with Jesus, we're choosing instead to walk with Satan. And that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. And so as we talk this morning, I really want to talk about no spirit but the Holy Spirit, because God desires good things for you. As a matter of fact, this dilemma, it bothered God so much that he died on a cross for it, because he made us, the Bible says, in his image, and he desired to have relationship with us. But because we sinned, we subjected ourselves to the rule of Satan. And Jesus was like, I got to fix this. And so he died on a cross and died the death that we deserved in order that we could be justified and saved. And by his resurrection, we know that we too shall be resurrected. And so we have this opportunity to not walk in the ways of this world, to not walk in the ways of the demonic, but instead to say, you know what? I'm going to receive this gift of Jesus Christ. I want to be a child of God. And it's our choice. It's a choice we make. But I don't want us to tolerate any spirit but the Holy Spirit as Christians. And so the main point that I want to hit today is this, is the Holy Spirit wants to help you, but demonic spirits want to harm you. The Holy Spirit wants to help you, but demonic spirits want to harm you. Now, I think this is something we can all agree. This is something we can all get behind. This is something we all acknowledge. But we live in a world where some things are tolerated that I believe open opportunity for Satan to have his way in our lives. You know, one example I'll give you is my beautiful Hispanic wife has memories growing up of her little abuelita when she was sick, rubbing an egg on her forehead to, some of you guys know what I'm talking about, to suck out the sickness, and then you crack the egg and there's a red dot. And it was supposed to be, I'm helping out my hija. Well, you're practicing witchcraft. and culturally, it's accepted. We live in a world where zodiac signs and astrologies and looking to things that God created as if they were God to give us answers about who we're supposed to be, and we entertain these things, but the thing is, it's not a godly thing. So if it's not a godly thing, it's a demonic thing. You know, I shared this with the students on Wednesday. Witchcraft even is becoming celebrated as some sort of, you know, cool, edgy activity to participate in, and let me try it out. We watch shows and we watch movies that practice these things, and we pretend like it's normal. Can I tell you, we stopped watching Doctor Strange, and I love the Marvel movies, but Doctor Strange got weird. I don't know if you guys keep up with that, but I mean, they're doing pentagrams and all sorts of crazy things, and it's like, this is no longer just a Marvel movie. This is like just straight getting into witchcraft. And it's getting weird. The world is getting weird. And what's more concerning is the world is getting comfortable with these kinds of things. And as Christians, we have to be aware so that we do not become comfortable. You see, we live in a time where Ouija boards and demonic movies, which practice communication with the demonic, are seen as a crazy Friday night. I talked about the astrology and the zodiac signs and tarot cards and palm readings, psychic readings and the like, which is just an attempt to sidestep God and consult the demonic about your future. And it's seen as a casual thing that we do to find out about ourselves. But this has no place in the body of Christ, and this has no place in God's church. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 31 says, "Do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10 through 14 says this, "Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their own son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft or casts spells, or who is a medium or a spiritist or consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. Because of these same detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. The nations you will dispossess, listen to those who practice sorcery or divination. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so." Now, I know what you might be thinking. Well, Pastor Zach, we just read Old Testament. Well, let me give you some New Testament from Revelation and the words of Jesus. And this is a strong, strong condemnation. I actually have this verse written on a post-it note in my office, and I'll tell you why in just a second. But it says in verse 8, "But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." I have that written on my post-it note because as a pastor, I can't be cowardly. I can't. As a matter of fact, Jesus feels so strongly about Christians being cowardly that he even says if we're going to operate in cowardly, that we should be lumped in with the unbelieving, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, they will be in hell. That's what it says. And you can see why I wrestled with this text, because this isn't your typical encouraging message, but I want to teach a little bit this morning because I feel like it's useful to the body of Christ. I feel like maybe some of us have entertained things in our lives that God has called us not to entertain. And in order to be effective, we have to be holy. We can't be effective representations of Jesus Christ if we're not walking in righteousness and holiness. So these things are important. You see, the problem with all of these things that we just spoke about is that you're using ungodly means to try and produce godly outcomes. You're consulting demons instead of consulting God. You are saying to demons, "Please come in. You're welcome here. I want your attention. I want your voice. I want your insight." You're communicating with these beings that are real, and you're saying, "Hey, you're welcome here. Be a part of my life." But the thing is, demons and Satan have no interest in helping you. They have no interest in helping you, but they can be tricky. The Bible tells us that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. What does that mean? That sometimes the demonic will trick you into thinking that it's a good thing, even though it's a really, really bad thing. We see this, and it's easy sometimes to just associate the spell casting and all of that as the demonic. Well, anything that doesn't glorify God, anything that is separate from what God says, anything that entertains sinful activity, it's demonic. It just is. And I wouldn't be a good pastor if I didn't share this with you. See, Satan has no interest in helping you. Jesus said it like this in John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says it like this. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. John chapter 8, verse 44 says it like this. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native tongue, for he is a liar and the father of lies. It's strong language. And I think the reason why Jesus uses strong language and then his apostle Peter uses strong language is because he wants us to be aware. You know, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul is writing to the Thessalonians and they're getting sad because a lot of the people in their community, they're being persecuted, they're being killed for their faith. And Paul writes to them and he says, I would not have you be ignorant. I would not have you be ignorant, or another translation says uninformed. And then he goes on to explain to them that even though they're dead in body, they'll be resurrected again on the day of Jesus Christ. But if I could use similar language this morning, I would not have you be ignorant. I would not have you be uninformed. Satan's only mission is to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan and his army of demons, his only purpose is to ruin your life. He only wants bad things for you. He only wants to wreck you. He only wants to cause you harm. And if we're not careful, we'll flirt with these things. And what we're really doing, like I said, is we're just saying, hey, Satan, I want you to have your way in this area of my life. Because what you're effectively saying is, Jesus, I don't want you to have your way in this area of my life. Pastor Zach, why are you preaching something so heavy? This isn't fun. Don't you like it when I talk in third person? The reason why I'm sharing this today is the same reason that I would not be casual, and I'm going to use a strong word here, but I want you to understand the gravity. I wouldn't be casual and calm if my children were around a pedophile. I wouldn't. I would lose my mind. I wouldn't be comfortable with it. I would do everything to keep that from happening because I don't want to put my children in danger. And in the same way, how much more we cannot be casual and we cannot be calm about the things of Satan and the demons that follow him. We just can't. It's not something that we should do. It's not wise. As a matter of fact, like Paul said, I would not have you be ignorant. I would not have you be uninformed. It's dangerous even, I would say. It's dangerous for the church to not be aware of these things. How many times the scriptures say, do not be deceived, do not be deceived. Why? Because Satan's really good at deceiving. Why? Because Satan's really good at disguising himself. Why? Because Satan knows how to get into your life and make it seem like, well, it's not a big deal. Well, it is a big deal if you're not doing things God's way. And we need to understand this. Because we also need to understand Jesus' mission. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, it says, the one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. Then watch this. This is really cool. It says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. What that means is Jesus showed up on earth to undo everything that Satan had done. Because from the time Adam and Eve sinned and bit the apple and pushed away the things of God, from then up until the point that Jesus Christ died on the cross, Satan was just having a heyday. Satan was just wreaking havoc on the world. Satan was doing everything he could to mess us up. And Jesus came to undo and destroy all the work that he had accomplished. See, we need to understand who Satan and his demons are. And this is all in your Bible, but I'm going to summarize it because it's all over your Bible and we don't have 3 hours this morning. But in order to understand something, you need to know this, that Satan and his demons, they were formerly angels that were cast out of heaven. The Bible tells us they were in heaven. They were created like all the other angels to worship God. And they decided, you know what? We don't want to worship God anymore. We want to be God. As a matter of fact, Satan wanted to be God. He said, I want to take that place. I want to be the one that gets worshiped. I want to lift myself and exalt myself higher than God. And so they had this rebellion against God. And the Bible tells us that a third of heaven's angels joined Satan in this rebellion. But can I give you some encouragement this morning? Because I know this isn't a fun Instagram-worthy message. They lost. God won. They lost. God won. They tried to overthrow heaven. They tried to defeat God, and they couldn't, and they can't. And so because of this great rebellion, Satan and his demons are damned to hell. As a matter of fact, the reason God created hell was specifically for Satan and his demons. No other reason. That was the purpose. He created this place to send these demonic creatures that rebelled against God. He created them to go there. But here's the thing that we wrestle with today. Satan and his demons, they can't beat God. They can't win. They've already lost. They know it's over. The clock is just ticking before God's done giving them time to do what they're doing. And so what they're trying to do is they're trying to do the next best thing. If they can't beat God, what can they do? Well, they can hurt God's heart. They can cause God to experience pain. And the way that they do this is they're going after what God loves most. Bless you. They're going after what God loves most. They're going after you. They're going after you. You see, Satan and his demons, they know that their eternity is set in eternal torment, eternal damnation, and in hell forever. And because they can't beat God, they want to upset and hurt God. And so their mission and their purpose is to bring as many people to hell with them as they can. Because they know God loves us. Because they know God cares for us. Because they know that it's so important to God's heart that God decided, you know what, I'm going to make myself a human being and die a painful death that I don't deserve on a cross. But Satan and his demons, because they can't beat God, they'll settle with making you sick. Satan and his demons, because they can't beat God, they'll settle with causing you to be depressed and anxious. Satan and his demons, because they can't beat God, they'll settle for ruining your marriage. They'll settle for taking your kids down a path of drugs and alcohol that they never should have gone down. They'll settle for doing everything they can, like the Bible says in the words of Jesus, to steal and to kill and destroy in your life. And my goal as a pastor here at this church is to make sure that we don't give them any ground. Let's not make it easy on them, because the Bible says that we do not wage war against flesh and blood, but we wage war against spirits and principalities, and that the way that we wage war is to pray, and that our weapons are spiritual and not carnal. But Scripture tells us that the weapons formed against us shall not prosper. And so don't come out of today just feeling scared, feeling defeated, feeling like, well, Pastor Zach said that we can't do anything because Satan and his demons are so powerful. Well, they are, but they're not more powerful than God. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, as a Christian, we have the authority to cast down the powers, to cast down the principalities, to cast down any demonic arguments that would set itself up against the knowledge of Christ. That's what Scripture says. And so our purpose and our mission as Christians should be aligned with the purpose of Jesus as expressed in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, to destroy the devil's work. And that is what we're here to do. I want to share some specific things with you this morning. And I'm just going to go through it. The first is this: you cannot practice witchcraft in the occult and enter into heaven. And if you don't like it, you're not mad at me. You're mad at the Bible. We'll read this again because I really want you to get this. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. The Bible is describing hell there. And what you need to understand is that's the words of Jesus. A lot of times what people like to do when they're trying to sidestep something the Bible says is they'll go, well, Jesus didn't specifically say it. Well, first of all, that's a dumb argument. I don't have time to explain it right now. That's a whole different message. Just because Jesus didn't say it, if it's in the Bible, it's still relevant, okay? But Jesus did say this. Those letters are in red. And it's important for you to understand this is meant to be a warning. This isn't meant to be a condemnation. The reason why we have the prophecy of Revelation is because Jesus wants us to know how we need to prune and change areas of our lives. And one of the things that God doesn't play about is the witchcraft and the occult. As a matter of fact, he says, you're not going to enter heaven like that. You're going to be a part of the second death. We see this represented in Acts chapter 19, verse 18 through 20. I want to give you a little context here. The book of Acts is really just a story of the early church. And this chapter is really great because Paul is preaching to the Ephesians, which was a culture and a society that made it was common practice to cast spells and to do witchcraft and to do these different things and all of that kind of stuff. And what happens is a bunch of them get saved. A bunch of them give their life to Christ. And check this out, verse 18 through 20. It says, many of those who believe now come and openly confess what they had done. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. So you see here a culture and a society where it was typical to hit up the shaman or the sorcerer or whatever it may be in order to get them to do something for you and to cast a spell and do those things. But you see those people come to Christ. And amen, praise God. And then what do? In a true sign of repentance, which is turning back, turning away from the things that aren't of God, changing your course, changing your direction, in a true act of repentance, they decide to burn their books. And the Bible says that it was about 50,000 drachmas. So I did the math here. A drachma was considered a day's wage. It was a day's wage. And so if you take 50,000 and divide it by 365, you get roughly, I think it was 120 something years of pay. And so what I did is I just, like a good pastor, I Googled it. What is the average salary in the state of Texas? Well, the average salary is $61,000. Some of you are like, man, that's the average? I need to get my money up. Amen. I'm praying for that for you in Jesus' name. Let's get the raise and the promotion. But if you take that figure, 61,000, just in today's terms, and you multiply it by the amount of years this would have added up to, you would have had roughly over $8 million worth of books. I want you to grasp this. I want you to understand this, that these people who were practicing these things had such a revelation of Christ in their life that they burned over $8 million worth of things that had value. That's how significant it is, and when we read about it in Revelation, how Jesus feels about it, that's how significant it was during the early church when Jesus had ascended into heaven and the apostles were going around sharing the gospel. We see very clearly throughout the life of the church that this isn't something to be accepted, but for some reason, we're kind of getting into a cultural moment here in America where those things are accepted, and not only are they accepted, they're considered entertainment. Okay, I got a confession. I don't like watching scary movies. I don't, but I like thriller movies. And what I mean by that is I don't like the type of movies that get demonic and things like that. We don't watch that in our home. But what I do like is a good thriller that kind of keeps you on the edge of your seat. And maybe it's just like a murder mystery, whatever it may be. And one of my favorite artists right now is a guy named Jordan Peele, who directed this movie called Get Out. And it's not a demonic movie. It's just kind of a fun thriller movie. But can I tell you, there's a movie that I'm not going to watch by him right now, and it's called Him. And I love football. When I saw the ad, I kind of wanted to go watch the movie, but I told Savannah, I was like, I don't know. That just feels like they're getting a little too demonic-y. They're getting a little too witchcrafty. We don't play that in our home. Pastor, how serious is this? Are you being too legalistic? Maybe I am, maybe I'm not, but when I read Revelation 21 and I see what happens in the books of Acts, and then when I pray about it and the Holy Spirit checks me and says, hey, you probably shouldn't do that, we got to listen. We got to listen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18 says it like this. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? Watch this. What harmony is there between Christ and the devil? Some of your translations will say, what harmony is there between Christ and Belial? See, Belial is a word that means the wicked one, great wickedness, great evil. When you break down this translation, it was understood to the people that this letter was written to that Paul was talking about the devil here and his demons. And understand the gravity of what is stated here in verse 15. What harmony is there between Christ and the devil? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. See, we have to be careful what we associate ourselves with, because we want to make sure that we're not entertaining something in our lives that's demonic in nature. And I know this is a little bit of a hot button issue around here. I want to get into this just a tad bit because I want to teach. I know some of us, maybe we don't like the event that we do called Trunk or Treat because of the day. And you'll notice that not one time has that word been said from this stage. And we try not to say that word of what that day is to some people. But what we believe around here is, first of all, God made every day, all 365 days. And so Satan doesn't get to claim one of them. And so just because there was a period of time where maybe some people celebrated things that were demonic, Satan didn't steal that day from God. And so what we can do as Christians, and what I believe that Jesus is in the business of, is redeeming things and making things new and making things holy, which is why we offer our Trunk or Treat event, because there are people out there who don't know Jesus. I've wrestled with this. Well, what to what extent, how does this work, right? And it's kind of like, as an evangelist, do I go to Salem, Massachusetts and start preaching to witches? Should I not do that because there's witches there? Well, obviously, that would be a good thing to do. We see that represented in Acts 19 when Paul is talking to witches and warlocks and sorcerers of the like. Otherwise, they wouldn't have burned $8 million worth of books. And so maybe there's some bad characters out there that are intending to do bad things. Well, God bless them when they come on the property and we're doing something that represents Christ because we're a church and we're trying to be a light in our community. God bless them when they find out about our church because of an event like that, and then they start coming, and then they hear about Jesus. I'm so excited about all the Bible-themed trunks that are going to be decorated that night. Why? Because it's an opportunity for us to share Jesus with some people, and maybe they're just like some people hanging out. Maybe they're just some people hanging out, or maybe they really are the people that are all involved in the witchcraft and the occult. All I know is my God's stronger than your God. And when Elijah was standing before the prophets of Baal, what happened? Nothing. I don't know if you're familiar with that story. I'm not going to go into it. Look it up. It's actually a really fun Bible story, Elijah and the prophets of Baal. But when Elijah prayed to his God, our God, fire came down and consumed the entire sacrifice. Why? Because our God is stronger than Satan. He's already won the fight. Our job as Christians is to kick back darkness. One thing I want to share with you, if you're having a hard time with this, because maybe some of the things that we're calling out this morning, you've allowed to creep into your life. You know, I don't think there's many people in this room that are just going home and reading spells, okay? I don't think there's many people in this room, or maybe anyone at all, that's going home and practicing with tarot cards or things like that. But what I do think is sometimes we compromise on things that maybe don't seem like a big deal, like zodiac signs, or I'm a Libra and I'm a this, that, and the other. I don't even know. Like, I don't. Somebody asked me, what's your sign? I'm like, I don't know. I'm a Christian. That's my sign. I don't know what you're talking about. And the reason why I want to share this with you this morning, and if you allow me to teach, if you allow me to pastor using God's word, is I don't want us to compromise in these areas. And you need to know that sometimes, and this is my second point, allowing ungodly spirits in your life can literally physically harm you. When you open the door to Satan and say, hey, I'm a Christian, I got my whole house here, but I want to give you this little basement apartment. When you compromise in these little things, when you make a habit and a practice of just disobeying God's word and pushing it to the side and acting like it's not a big deal, what you're doing is you're giving Satan room to work in your life. Instead of giving God the room, you're saying, God, I want you to have dominion over every area of my life except for this one area, but you're not really giving God dominion at all. Because when you're giving God dominion, you're saying, God, you get every room. God, you have all access. God, you can direct every area of my life. And when we don't operate in that way as Christians, Jesus isn't really Lord of our lives. And sometimes when we allow ungodly spirits in your life, it can literally harm you. Luke chapter 13, verse 10 through 13, we see that there was a woman who was crippled by a spirit of infirmity. Listen to the language there. The Bible's intentional about how this is written. A spirit of infirmity. And the Bible says that for 18 years she suffered. But catch this. When Jesus prays for her and casts a demon out of her, what happened? She was healed. Because Jesus, when prayed over this woman that had a demonic spirit on her life and set her free, and then that woman was healed. Matthew chapter 9, verse 32 through 33, the Bible tells us that Jesus was casting out a demon from a mute man that couldn't speak. And the moment that Jesus cast out this demon, catch this, the man was then able to speak. And then Matthew chapter 12, verse 22, we see that Jesus healed a man who was both blind and mute after casting out a demon. The guy couldn't see, the guy couldn't talk, but the moment that Jesus set him free, cast a demon out of him, what happened? He was healed. Now, I do want to give you a little bit of a disclaimer here, and it's important that you listen to this part of it. Not every time you're sick, there's a demon, okay? Not every time you're going through something, there's a demon. You know, Satan didn't give you a flat tire, you drove over a nail. You know what I'm saying? Like, that wasn't the devil at work. You just drove through a construction site, all right? And yeah, you reap what you sow, okay? You reaped nails in your tire. That's what happened. But I do think there's some areas of our life where when we just keep giving Satan permission, keep giving Satan permission, keep giving Satan permission, Satan's like, okay, bet. They're like, I got VIP access to this person's life. And Jesus kind of describes this a little bit when he's talking about the strong man and the spirit, and it talks about in scripture here, and I'm sorry I don't have the reference in front of me, but it talks about how when you clean house, when you send the spirits out, if you don't fill that house with something, not only will those spirits come back, but there'll be more. And what scripture is referring to there is that when we get cleaned by Jesus, we need to make sure that we continue to seek Jesus, that we're filled with the Holy Spirit, because God is the only thing that is stronger than Satan and his demons. And so if we don't have the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can get our lives cleaned up. We can put down the drugs or the alcohol, and maybe we're good for a time. But because we're not replacing what we once entertained with something better, which is the presence of God, which is walking a Christian lifestyle, which is getting into God's word, which is doing what scripture tells us to do. When we don't replace the sinful things that we once entertained with the godly things that the Lord wants to give us, because Jesus Christ says, I want to give you life and life more abundantly. When we're not operating as a Christian and we just treat Jesus like a nice little AA project, what happens is the Bible says that it just gets worse. It just gets worse because you can't do it by yourself. You can't do it in your own strength. You have to do it through the power of God, through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit enables us to live a life that's free. The Holy Spirit enables us to walk in strength and purity. I love the scripture. It says, for I did not give you a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. But that happens when we decide to do things God's way. We can't allow ungodly things into our life, because sometimes when we allow ungodly things in life, we're allowing ungodly spirits in our life too. And they only aim to steal, kill, and destroy. where I want to end today is just this understanding. And if you didn't listen to anything else I said this morning, I want you to listen to this. That protection from demonic spirits and demonic plans and demonic attacks only come through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. You're not strong enough. Your willpower is not enough. You're not going to be able to white knuckle it enough. You are not stronger than Satan and his demons on your own. It only comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that when Jesus was dead on the cross and then waiting 3 days to be resurrected, that he went down to hell and grabbed the keys. What the Bible is explaining there is that Satan no longer has authority and Satan no longer has dominion. And what Jesus does is he empowers us with his authority. That's why it's so powerful and it's so great when you get a praying mama in your corner. Why? Because she's operating in the blood of Jesus. And she might be 5'5 and 85 years old, but she's more powerful than anybody you've ever seen. But we got to understand this and not try to do it in our own strength. Jude chapter 1, verse 9 paints an interesting picture because it references what happened after Moses died. You see, Moses was a great leader who led the Jewish people out of Egypt to the promised land. But when he died, the Bible tells us that Satan had plans for his bones. You see, the Jewish people, the Israelites, they had an issue where they kept trying to worship idols. And so I think Satan's plan was, let me get a hold of Moses' bones so that I can get them to worship Moses' bones and make Moses God instead of God God. And mess them up again with this idolatry. But God wasn't having that. I think God was sick and tired of all this nonsense that was going on. Because we see in verse 9 of Jude chapter 1, but when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." And this is a interesting scene. You know, I always say the Bible isn't boring. You're just not reading it right. You're reading it wrong. And, you know, I want you to, like, look up an AI video of, like, Michael the archangel fighting with Satan, because this had to be the craziest fight of all time. You know, I don't know if any of you guys like movies like Gladiator. Like, this was that times 10 because it was celestial, right? But the Bible tells us that there was a fight or a dispute going on because Satan wanted Moses' bones. God wasn't having it, so he sent Michael to contend with the devil, to fight with the devil. But watch this. Michael the archangel, who was still in heaven, did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." The Lord rebuke you. What that means is he didn't come up to Satan and said, "Well, I'm going to rebuke you. I'm going to do this out of my own strength." See, that was Satan's problem in the first place, is Satan thought he had strength apart from God. That was the problem, is Satan had so much pride in his heart that he said, "I don't need God. I don't want to do things God's way anymore. As a matter of fact, God's not worthy to be worshipped." And the problem when we entertain these things is what we're effectively saying is, I want to accomplish all the things that God wants to accomplish in my life, but I don't want to do it with Jesus. I don't want to walk with God. I don't want to be obedient. I don't want to do it God's way. You need to understand something. You cannot get what God wants to get into your life without God. You can't. It's not possible. And that's why Michael the archangel didn't even presume to try to fight Satan on his own. But he said, "The Lord rebuke you." Why? Because the same way it applies to angels, it applies to us. We can't do anything in our own strength. But my God, when we're walking in the strength of the Lord. But my God, when we're walking under the blood. But my God, when we're doing things Jesus' way. Church, we are powerful. Not because of us, but because of what Christ has given us. And how great of a trick would it be for Satan to deceive his church into thinking we're not powerful? How great would it be for Satan strategically if he could cripple the body of Christ from being effective because we entertain things that the church has no business entertaining? See, the church needs to be the church. Because what the church does is we kick back darkness in the name of Jesus. But right now we're trying to kick back darkness, and it's like a little toddler trying to kick. There's no strength. And what I think God is trying to get us to do is he's already saved us. Our salvation comes by grace through faith. But our strength and our authority and our power to walk in the things of God, it comes from our holiness and our set apartness. It comes from the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. And I really think Satan right now, especially in the American church, he's just trying to cripple the church to keep us from being effective. And the way that we're effective is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Check this out, Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 through 12. Y'all can stand with me. We're about to close. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 through 12 says, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, 'Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accused them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens and you who dwell in them.'" See, we have a cheat code here, because we already see the ends through the prophecy of Revelation. Verse 11, the church's job is to triumph over the evil one and the plans of Satan. Why and how? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. God has a purpose for your life. God has a mission for your life. When we think about kicking back darkness, we make it this huge, almost out of reach thing, so therefore we don't have to be responsible for what we do or don't do in our own lives. Can I tell you, God wants to kick back darkness at your dinner table? Can I tell you, God wants you to kick back darkness at your kid's school? Can I tell you, God wants you to kick back darkness in your marriage because you've been allowing some darkness in there that doesn't belong there? See, sometimes we disassociate with what's going on right around us because we're so focused on the things that are kind of far away. But God's called us to kick back darkness locally just as much as he's called us to do it everywhere else. And when I say local, I'm not just talking about our city. I'm talking about what's local to your life, what's within your reach, what is the job that you show up to every day, what are the people that you're interacting with on a daily basis, what are the things that you're allowing and compromising in your own life. See, we got to tolerate no spirit but the Holy Spirit. No spirit but the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, I feel that I'm speaking to some people that you've given room for things that aren't God. And it might not be the crazy witchcraft stuff that we were talking about. It might be as simple as you're just looking at some stuff on your phone that you shouldn't be looking at. God has called his church to have no spirit but the Holy Spirit. And that starts with us. That starts with, like what Michael Jackson said, the man in the mirror. And so if that's you this morning, you're like, "Pastor Zach, I have not been living this way. I've not been operating this way. I've not been carrying myself this way. But today is a good day to start." If that's you, can you just raise your hands in the air? And can I say, me too? I want us to pray. And this isn't some big hyped up moment. This is just meant to be a serious moment between you and your Father in heaven, who by the blood of the Lamb and the words of your testimony has saved you and wants good things for you. But you got to get out of your own way a little bit. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. God, I thank you that you love us so much that sometimes you'll speak to us in ways that are confrontational, difficult, not fun, because you desire good things for us. And Lord, I just pray for each of us this morning that maybe we've compromised in areas of our life where we've tolerated things that are not from you. And Lord, I just pray this morning for no spirit but the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you'd bring conviction, godly conviction that doesn't lead to worldly sorrow, but godly conviction that leads to change, that leads to holiness, that leads to set apartness. That, Father, we would be the type of Christians that shine really bright, Jesus, because we're good reflections. God, I pray that you would get the junk out of our lives. God, I pray that you'd bring to our attention the things that do not please you. Bring to our attention the areas of our lives that needs to change. Bring to our attention the areas of our lives where we've allowed Satan to have his way. And Lord, we proclaim right now, in the name of Jesus, no spirit but the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray against any demonic spirits, that God, you would remove them in the name of Jesus. Defeat the strong man, Lord, and I pray that you would fill us with your presence so that, God, every area of our lives would be submitted to you. And Jesus, as our church makes an effort to push back darkness, God, I pray that we would not have a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And that, Father, you would use our church to be a home base of your presence. That, God, you would use our church to make a difference in our city, in our families, in our communities, in our workplaces, God. That, God, you would empower us through your Holy Spirit with strength and comfort and signs and wonders. That, Jesus, you would move in every way in which you please. And that, God, your will would not be hindered. Lord, have your way in us, God. We pray that your kingdom come and that your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven, here in our lives as it is in heaven, Lord Jesus, and here in Irving as you desire it to be. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody said amen and amen. Can y'all give God some praise this morning?